Okay, amen. Starting anew on May 31st. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, I hope you're reading your Bible each day, you're memorizing the books of the Bible, that you know the Word of God, be a blessing to you within your life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless, Lord, as we study your Word once again. Thank you for the freedom you've given us in Christ. Thank you for our country. Thank you for everything that goes into what's going on today. We're going through some troubled waters. We're going through a storm of this plague that has engulfed the whole world. Lord, help us to love you above everything. Come close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 5, after this there was a feast to the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, means they can't walk, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, and he had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to preach this morning on the house of mercy. The house of mercy. It tells you right here in our context, and we've taken a lot of time with everything else, but hang on. I'll try to keep it down, and we'll see what God would have for us here this morning. There was a feast going on. There's seven feasts within Israel, and it was in progress. And here a guy is laying by a pool. 38 years he's done this. Some people here aren't even 38 years old yet. Can you imagine all of your life laying in front of a pool? That's what he's doing. Boy, he was determined. He got as close to this pool as he could. But always somebody was quicker than him and got into that pool first. Obviously, this is a miracle. There's always those that don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the miracles of the Bible. I believe every one of the miracles in the Bible. God does miracles.
Yes, he does.
That's what he does. It's natural for him to do miracles. And here was a miracle that in this pool, the angel of God troubled the waters, moved it around. There's something going in the healing of the waters in that pool. And it said They called that place Bethesda. Bethesda being interpreted the house of mercy. The house of mercy. I don't know about you folks, but I need mercy from God every day within my life. I just don't match up to Jesus at all. He's perfect. He's loving. He does everything right. I mean, I'm still working on that. That's a work in progress. How about you? Anybody perfect here? I don't think so. But here he was. He was tenacious. He was waiting and waiting. Do you have trouble waiting? Waiting on things. Amen. He had patience. The timing had to be right for him to get into those troubled waters. Usually people don't like to get into troubled waters. Amen. It's kind of a picture of what we're going through right now in our lives. There's troubled waters out here. And brother, we need some healing too. Need some healing in our mess, in our marriages, in our families, in our church, within our own souls, within our bodies. He came to the troubled waters. You know, a lot of people make decisions right in the middle of a huge hardship that comes within their life. Do you understand that these troubled waters came from God? God sent his angel to trouble those waters. We wonder why we have trials and troubles within our life. We wonder why life has to be full of those kind of things for us to make some decisions. You see, if we're left to ourselves and everything's going easy, we won't make the right decisions. We got to be pressed to make a decision. God knows that. He created us. And so we see this plague that he allowed, he brought into this world. It's a judgment on sin. I don't care what anybody says in politics about it. God says it is. The first mention of a plague in history came from God there, brought upon Pharaoh by Moses. And so God uses that. We don't like the troubled waters. We prefer the calm waters. We're sheep. Amen. But he said the troubled waters. Did you notice when there was troubled waters, Jesus came?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus came. He's come to you this morning. In the midst of these troubled waters that we have, all of the problems that we have in our lives, whether it be at home or in the workplace or in our bodies or anything else, do you notice that it says that this pool was by the sheep gate? In other words, this is where they allowed the sheep to come in because they were going to slaughter the sheep and use them for sacrifice. Did it say a feast was underway? Amen. That's what they did. They gave sacrifice unto God. They always use sheep. Usually, I shouldn't say always. All oxen too they use as well. But this is the setting that we see. They purchase the lambs there. Keep your place here and go to Isaiah 53, please. We'll go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and in verse 5. Isaiah 53 talks about the Lord and the crucifixion and everything, and it says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. With the sacrifice, the picture is clear here in John 5. You just think about it. This pool was by the place where the sacrifice of lambs were to go. and there was healing. When the angel, sent by God the Father, because he sent his Son to die for us as a lamb, the Lamb of God. And here you have a picture of this right in front of us. By his stripes, the stripes he received there before he was crucified and put on the cross. Now some religions, Pentecostals, Assembly of God, some of these, you know, they say, oh yes, oh, nobody's ever going to be sick and everything because he had stripes and all of this. And if you're sick, then you must not be saved or right with God or something, you know. No, none of that's in this passage at all. But he can heal of anything within your life. The way I read my Bible, there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. He can do anything. Don't limit him. Don't say something he didn't say. The pool is where the needs are met. Everybody has needs. This is where the needs are met, in the pool. Relief is given. Did you notice as you read John 5 there were five porches? Did you know the number 5 in the Bible stands for grace? Grace. Not only is there 5 letters in our word, grace, but the number 5 pops up over and over again in the Bible. How many puncture wounds did Jesus have when he was crucified? Both hands, both feet, and his side. You are saved by faith through grace through faith. Amen. And so we see 5 porches that are done here. Did you know? Here's the troubled waters, and there's a transaction that's made at the troubled waters. Amen. A lot of people have to have the troubled waters before the transaction's made, before the healing is done. God is good. And he's good all the time.
Amen.
Whether you get healed or not.
That's
right. Amen. Doesn't change the attribute of God. Whether he answers your prayers or not, he's still good. He knows more about what's necessary in your life or somebody else's life.
Yes,
he wants you to come to him as a child comes to a father and asks. And that's what prayer is. And according to his will, according to his plan, he'll answer that prayer. This is something that is out of the ordinary. That's what you need in your life, is something out of the ordinary. This man came to this pool. He didn't come to give. He came to get. He needed his needs met. He was attracted to the pool of power. He came in faith. He came in anticipation, expectancy. You know, we got to watch ourselves. We don't get in a hopeless state. Kind of give up hope. That kind of giving up hope is for the world, my friend. Not for you. Back in Acts chapter 27, you find Paul. He was being taken to Rome under Caesar, and he was in a ship. And it says in Acts 27:20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Amen. You read that whole passage and you see that they were without hope. So you've never been on a ship like that, ready to go down, be drowned forever. It says the ship was broken up. Did you know God allowed that? God brought the troubled waters, He brought the storm, He brought the tempest to break up that ship. Because there were some on that ship that couldn't swim. The ship had to be broken up so they could grab on to some of the pieces of the ship and finally be saved and taken to shore. The angel of God stood by all of that. You think this is all an accident? Huh? That's what atheists think. They believe evolution. Everything out here is an accident. Didn't you know that? It just so happened millions and millions of years ago. It all blew up in a big bang, and boy, down through the millions of years. And what a fairy tale. The way, how complex everything is in this world, and our bodies and our minds and the animals and all of the different species and everything else on the face of the earth. No, it wasn't an accident. And no, the troubled waters isn't an accident. God had a plan. He said that there wasn't any guarantee that they'd be saved, but there was a possibility they'd be saved. With God, anything's possible. Don't ever lose hope. Have faith. Not fear. We'll do what's right. We'll keep close to the Lord. I mean, what's the worst that can happen to you? Die? It shouldn't mean anything to you. We're all going to die. Are you prepared to die? Are you saved? Have you truly repented of your sin and put your trust in Christ alone? Are you living for Him? Has God done something in your heart and in your life and transformed you by the renewing of your mind, how you think, your attitudes, everything about you? What's the worst they can do to me? Kill me? Praise God, bring it on! I know where I'm going. I can't wait to get out of this mess. I don't like living in the sewer. Amen. That's what this world has turned into. No doubt about that. Filth. Dangerous, you know, with all of these people and everything. So that's the first thing you learn. It was troubled by God. You read the book of Job. Did you know that Satan had to get the permission of God to do anything to Job?
Yes.
And did you know the one that instigated the whole thing was God? He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Job probably said, No, don't say my name. No. He only said, you can do this to him and that, but you can't take his life. Job went through some troubled waters like you've never gone through troubled waters, I'll guarantee you. God allowed Satan to do that to Job. Troubled waters come from the Lord, brother. You know, a lot of things in life we can't figure out. I'm glad that God's already figured it out. Do you know this? All this is going on doesn't catch God by surprise. God's not up in heaven, you know, just ringing his head. Oh, what am I going to do now? We got a wonderful God. We got a supreme God. We got a powerful God.
Amen.
He knows all about it. He's our Father. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph brought up as a teenager. When he was 17, his brothers hated him so much, they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Nobody's done that to you, have they? Yeah. God's not in that. Oh. What's the rest of the story? Yes. He was 17 years old when that happened to him. And for 13 years, he was in prison. Lied about. Had a scandal against him. Potiphar's wife lied and everything else. It wasn't until he was 30 years old that he stood before Pharaoh. Go to Genesis 45. Let's grab a couple of those verses here. Important. All of us got to get back into worshiping God and studying the Bible like we should. Get to know our God better and our life better. Genesis chapter 45. And you know what Joseph said there in verse 8? He said, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh, the lord of all of his house, and a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt." After all of this was over, he looked back and he said, God let this all happen. God allowed my brothers to hate me. You wonder about your relatives sometimes, don't you? Boy, some of us got some real winners, boy. Woo! But you know what? God allowed him that in his family. Go to Genesis 41 because he's got insight. He went through this. Genesis 41, verse 40. Genesis 41, verse 40 says, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." That's what Pharaoh said to him. Boy, he's the highest in the land, do you understand? I want you to learn. Every negative event in your life is necessary. You don't see it. His thoughts are way ahead of our thoughts. His way, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. Yeah, his ways are higher than your ways, that's for sure. No doubt about that. Did you know that he couldn't have got to Egypt if he wasn't sold to those traders that got him to Egypt? Why? There was a famine going on in the land. God had a plan about that famine. A man named Joseph, a 17-year-old teenager, was going to fix it all up. Even the butler that had forgotten him, if the butler had remembered, he would have gone home back to Israel 2 years. And he wouldn't have been there to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. He was the only one that could interpret the dream, and that's why Pharaoh put him in charge. He had a plan. He prepared. He knew what was going on. God was all behind this. Timing. Everything. That's a terrible thing. You forgot about me in prison. No, that's for your good, Joseph. Little did he know. You know, you're going to have these negative things in your life from time to time, and every one of those negative things are necessary for you to be used by God. And that's what your life is supposed to be all about. You serving your Creator, God, your Father. You're the child. Obey your Father. Follow Him. Be obedient. Be wise, not foolish. Look at chapter 50 right there. Genesis 50. And in verse 19. Could actually learn something if you pay attention. Your life's in jeopardy. You need to know what's going on. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 19. Joseph said unto them, that's his brothers, fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph got it. Have you got it? There's a reason and a purpose for everything you go through within life. God allows those troubled waters to come into your life, to stir you up, to get you closer. That guy lay there for 38 years trying to get as close to that pool as he could. And it wasn't any good. There was no hope in that. But along came Jesus. Along came Jesus. That changed his life. That was the answer to everything. And he still is the answer to everything, folks. He's the answer to your life. Don't fight against God. Don't rebel against Him. Get close to Him. Get closer to the troubled waters. Those troubled waters are for healing, not destruction. You know, we get in some troubled waters. Boy, we get hopeless real quick. Remember the Red Sea and how they were blocked and everything, and they couldn't go across because of the Red Sea? Here's water again. God's using water. Most of the planet's water. Yeah, that's the way God made it. Well, oh, did He have a plan? Oh, yeah, He always does. What's the first thing they did when they came and they saw that they were blocked in by the Red Sea? Anybody? They complained. You done any complaining this week? Maybe you did some complaining against God. God had a plan. God troubled the waters and made safety for God's people and brought those troubled waters down on the enemy. And drowned them. You see, John chapter 5, and this man that laid there for 38 years, lots of teaching in there. Need to have faith in God. It's there to bring you to that place. I heard a story about an old mule that fell into a dry well. They tried and tried and couldn't get him out. They figured the poor old thing is going to die down there anyway. Maybe we ought to just fill the well up with dirt and bury him. Because to leave him down there, he's going to suffer for days. Well, they got big loads of dirt. And they backed in there and they dumped a load of dirt down. Then they dumped another load of dirt down in the well. Every time another load of dirt hit that mule, he just shook it off and he stepped on top of it. They brought another load and dumped it in. He shook it off and stepped on it, and after about 30 loads of dirt, the mule stepped right out of the well. The very thing that was intended to do him in was the thing that caused him to come out on top. God works in marvelous ways. You don't understand some of the things God does in your life. I was reading some time ago about a guy that was a lone survivor in a shipwreck. And he was cast on a small and uninhabited island. He gathered everything he could from the wreckage, and he built himself a hut. One day he was out searching for food, and when he came back, his hut was on fire. Everything that he had salvaged from the wreck, all of his earthly possessions, had gone up in smoke. He was in total despair. Up until that time, he had been praying daily for deliverance. But when he came back and saw that his hut on fire and everything he had salvaged had burned up, he just collapsed in hopelessness. Sure that his prayers were not going to be answered. The next morning, he was amazed when a ship arrived to rescue him. The captain said, "We saw your smoke signal and got here as soon as we could." The very thing that was most terrible in his life turned out to be the thing that saved him. Bethesda. House of mercy. God shows mercy in your life over and over again. You don't even know it. He's always working behind the scenes. Be a people of faith. I've got much more to preach, but I won't. I think you got the message this morning. You know what we're going through right now? This plague, this virus, troubled waters, folks. Remember, God brought the troubled waters. I could go on and give you different examples in the Bible. God has a plan for everything. Why don't you just get close to the troubled waters? Why don't you accept it and go ahead? Don't let it overbear you. You be a victor and go through. Amen. We'll come out on the other side of victor. We don't have to. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have fear. What you need to do is use your faith. I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, help you. Help us to be able to understand the Word of God and apply it to our own personal life. May we have the faith that you want us to have. Trust you in every situation. It's hard for us sometimes, Lord, to understand, but we don't have to understand. We just need to obey. Help us, Lord, to love you enough to obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please.